God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, my dear friends, and those of you that answer to a different description. We're here in the Saucer Pod this evening wondering if we will have anything useful to say. We hope so. We're hovering tonight over that perennial Israeli killing ground known as Gaza. Gaza mon amour. It is there that the wheezing psychopaths exercise their horrific disposition to sacrifice small children to Baal. Baal is the Israeli comparative to Ganesh in India, meaning he is the traditional household god in Israel. I'm not kidding, and he gets worshipped by sacrifice daily. A lot of the time people think I'm speaking metaphorically, but quite often I'm talking literally, as I am at this moment. Remember what it says in the Bible. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. To show you how much they are revising the Bible these days, I couldn't find this version in an initial search. I found a lot of colloquialisms and adaptations. I don't like that sort of thing. If it ain't broke, don't break it. Well, I hope I got that quote right. I amaze myself sometimes with how much of the Bible I remember. It has stuck with me. I'm not a Christian, but I love and admire the Christ, which is a station, not a person. Jesus was just the first fruit of those who slept, like they're sleeping now, and which caused him to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When I say I'm not a Christian, I am none of the others either. God and I have come to an understanding on that, and God much approves of my position. I don't know much, but there are a few things I do know, and one of them is that it is the same God in every religion. He has confirmed this to me, and it has been said before by others that I highly respect. I believe that God is too big to be confined by any religion, and all religions do is confine God into more narrow parameters through doctrine and dogma, which causes arguments between the different creeds. God is too immense to be confined in a building either. I worship God in the majestic cathedral of nature beneath the Grand Imperium. That is a fitting chapel for the One, as is the sacred chambers of the heart upon which the true scriptures are written, in vibrating tongues of flame, and when the heart has reached the proper level of higher love, those scriptures will speak on their own account. God Almighty expects us to speak with Him all day long. It's like that great gospel song says, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. George Beverly Shea really tore that one up. What a voice. Often when Christmas approaches, while everyone else is out shopping and buying presents to make up for the way they treat each other the rest of the year, when the best Christmas present they could give anyone is to love them all year long, the way Christ exhorted them to, I very often get filled with the Christmas spirit, which is a certain kind of love that floods you and makes you feel good all day long, especially in the evening walking under streetlights and if the snow is falling. Here's another song that I love. May the good Lord bless and keep you. whether near or far away. May you find that long-awaited golden day today. May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortunes 10 times 10. And may the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. And may there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see. Oh, no, it goes, may, oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. Yeah. Yeah, I love that song. That was done by Jim Reeves. He did a heartbreaking version of that song, and we had it on a 78 record when I used to listen to it during the day when I was a young child, and those times when I was alone and in a very difficult period of my life, fraught with violence and psychological abuse, and I would sing along with that song, sometimes with tears running down my face. Well, there was another song that I would sing along with that I would play next, entitled The Shifting Whispering Sands. Que Sera Sera was another one, and that would send haunting images into my mind, as did Where or When. You Belong to Me was another song like that. The lyrics are so beautiful, and I would be transfixed sometimes when I heard it. I used to lay in bed at night and sing songs to myself. My brother would be in the bunk bed beneath me. I used to have terrible nightmares and wake up screaming, but I learned better than to do that. Or I might be screaming after another fashion. Of course, I wet the bed when I was a child, and that really got me a whipping, too, often. It was a no-win situation, and I could not understand why these things were happening to me. My father had a 25 caliber Beretta that he kept under his pillow, and I used to take it out and play with it when no one was around, of course. And it never occurred to me to use it one fine day and just blow him away. Much later in my life, I reflected on that and thought that maybe I should have done it. I could have gotten over that. The other I did not get over for many a year, if I ever have. Of course, it was not my nature to respond like that, and I was fully intimidated in any case. I'm most grateful I did not treat my own child that way and have not taken his traits along with me. Like the Bible says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful. But all's well that ends well. God tells me he's my father now, and it all happened for good reason. It made me what I am today, and he told me that that was all behind me now and that I had a great deal to look forward to, saying that I literally have no idea. That sounds good. I'm going to go with that. It's hard to believe that I'll be in India in just a little over 3 weeks. I'll be in Arunachala and also out to Cochin to see my good friend Roy, who has a house there. I'm hoping my friend Scott is around, and I don't know what else I'll do. I know I'm supposed to meet some people that I am presently unaware of, and I tentatively, I'm able to stay there for 6 months. We'll see how that turns out, or whether I return and go to the UK to record all my songs over with a professional who has invited me to come to his house and do this in his studio. I've got a lot of friends in the UK that I've never met, and that'll be a good possibility seeing them should I not disappear in India with one of those people I'm supposed to meet. So how are you doing out there? I want to send you my gratitude for tuning in to listen to me, and it is my hope I don't disappoint you. It means a lot to me to be in a position to transmit something of value. I'm not sure that always happens, but I do strive to that end. Let me take a moment to thank the ever-gracious James Jancic, who puts these shows together for you with the intro and music, and he isn't even running his show right now, so that's a beautiful gratuity that he offers to me and to you, and I'm most appreciative. He's a good soul, and I've learned that over the several years that we have been working together. He's a hard-working fellow that drives a big truck thousands of miles every week. It somehow managed to produce a lot of radio time out of the goodness of his heart. Now his job and circumstances has made it impossible for him to do that in present time. I often think of the people like James who are out there just doing their best for the rest of the world and not asking anything in return, but that you just enjoy the effort they make on your behalf. I know a lot of the readers that come here are like that. I know there are many anonymous souls out there who work under the radar for the good of us all. One of my spiritual teachers, Mohayadeen Guru Bawa, used to talk about these people and say that they were like a strand of pearls around the neck of the divine. What a thing to aspire to, eh? To be one of the pearls on a strand around the neck of God. I often think about the things most people aspire to in their worldly ambitions. I think to myself, if I could only serve the divine more fully, if I only had greater opportunity to be more completely immersed in this. I was thinking that today when God's voice came into my head and said, "You will." It made my heart so glad. That led to a spontaneous outpouring in which I was saying how my deepest and most compelling desire was to testify to and proclaim the certain existence of your presence without embarrassment and shame or shame, and that I could think of no greater honor. And he kept saying, "You will, you will." I can't tell you how that made me feel. Thanksgiving is coming up this week, and I always make it a point to be grateful. I like to spend the day thinking about all my blessings, and they are considerable. I think of all the ways that the divine has enabled me and how he takes the trouble to come and speak to me. He knows what I go through, and he's very generous with me. I was talking to him in the kitchen yesterday and telling him how much I appreciated his coming more and more into my life and how much that affirmed everything. He's got such a sense of humor and a way of saying things the right thing at the right time, and he reminded me of something. I've mentioned many times this at the blog. He said, "Well, it's like you tell people what Paramahansa Yogananda said. If you don't look for God in the springtime of your life, he won't be there in the winter. And this is technically the winter of your life, isn't it? It qualifies as being somewhere around the last quarter of your life. Of course, you don't know how long I may want to keep you around here, but anyway, here I am." Just like he said. Damn, he made me laugh from way deep down inside, because I knew it was him talking and say something like that. I don't think anyone could know how much that means to me. And after everything I've been through and the certain knowledge of how often I've screwed up and all the time I wasted. And, well, like he said, after he said that about the Paramahansa quote, and he says, "Hey, here I am." I mean, that was something. And then he'll come along and say, "Hey, I was screwed up and all the time I wasted." And he'll say, "Hey, you weren't all that bad. Would I be talking to you like this now if you were? Besides, I made you do most of those things for a very good reason, and you'll find out about all that up the road. You have a tendency only to remember the things you did wrong, and you don't remember most of the things you did right. And all the times you went out of your way, stopped your life right in the middle of what you were doing to come to the aid of a friend. And you did that a lot of times. Don't think I missed any of that, because I don't miss anything. I see your life and everyone else's life through their eyes. But most people don't know that I'm watching or even care. You know, I try to talk to a lot of people, but they don't hear me. You really have to make an effort to listen and shut out all the external noise and stop the chatter inside your head. But you know about that, don't you?" This reminds me of something that happened a while ago. And it is a tale like some number that have happened to me, but I don't usually tell them because I don't want people to think I make too much out of myself, and believe me, I don't. That's not permitted, and I would hear about it toot sweet. You may be sure. God's got his finger right near the button all the time with me. Anyway, I was out at my friend's house about 100K from here for the regular solstice gathering we have every year, and anywhere from 70 or so people to a couple of hundred might show up. In recent years, there have been less, more and more. And I was on mushrooms, and as so often happens, I will walk off to myself to talk to the divine. So I was sitting at the outdoor dining table right outside the house. There wasn't anyone around, and somehow we got around to talking about the fact that he talks to me, and he wanted to know if I knew how special that was, the particular way he talks to me and the frequency with which he talks to me. And he asked me, "So how many people in the world do you think I talk to like this?" I thought about it for a moment, and then I replied, "I don't know, maybe 10,000 people. And he said, "Nowhere near that." I think I might have then said more, and he said, "You're going in the wrong direction." Well, this continued for a while, and I'm not going to say the number we arrived at, but it stunned me. He said, "Well, you know how you're always talking about the Kali Yuga? That's how it is in times like this, and that's why I eventually have to show up and clear house or change things like I'm doing at the moment." A few days ago, some really arrogant, all-knowing spiritual type came around to the blogs and began pontificating to me from his high horse about how wrong I was about being a friend of God, and that God didn't have friends, and that none of the other things I talk about were real. And then he gave me one of those wandering tales about God is some kind of indifferent, impersonal force, when I know for a fact that God is very personal. I didn't even post that comment. I just figured it caused dissension. I usually post most comments, but when I see something that's just intentionally hurtful like that, And I think it might injure people's faith. I just don't put it up there. Anyway, I know for a fact that God is very personal, as my good friend Homer also knows. Homer is one of those truly special people who walks the talk, as does Esteban and Clarity, Captain Spadgett and a few others, and my dear friend Sim. I don't like mentioning the names that come right off the top of my head because I have certainly left some important names out, and most likely I'll hurt some people's feelings, and I don't mean to do that. Your name will come to me soon enough, and I'll go, rats, I forgot so-and-so. So if you're so-and-so, please accept my apologies. Excuse me. I just grabbed a few names and continued on. Anyway, I know Homer lives a God-involved life. It's the only thing that's important to him, and you can tell that. And it is so reassuring to know that there are other people out there who are convinced of the same thing. I am, like my friend Roy and Coach in India and his wonderful lady Samara. I see Roy and instantly my eyes light up. And it's not long before we're sitting somewhere and sometimes talking for hours about God and related things. I mean, how many people can you have a conversation like that with? I don't know what to say to most people. I'm just not interested in all that pedestrian temporary stuff, and I don't intend to be. What a tragic waste of time it is, what people spend their time out there on for the most part. The divine affirms this to me all the time. He tells me now and again how so many people are going to rue the day that they did not take the advantage of the wonderful and truly rare opportunity that is present for them in this time. He affirms all I believe about why there are 7 billion people on the planet at the moment and how he's going to deal with Israel and expose all of their lies before the world, and that's soon enough. It talks about the high and mighty and how they're going to fall and the punishment coming to certain cultures. I mean, I wish I could repeat all the things he tells me, but there isn't the space. I can tell you there is no pleasure and no gift, no possession on this earth that can equal conversation with the divine. Nothing else comes close. And it is there for everyone who will make the effort to do this. I've heard this right from the winged horse's mouth. All it takes is consistent effort, and all you have to do is start talking to the divine consistently about everything. Go to him about every matter, no matter how small. You may get no response for some time, but he or she is listening to every word, engaging the quality and condition of your heart and the degree of your sincerity. He or she wants you to see how much you intend to make this relationship permanent. Once he or she is convinced of that, you will hear from the divine. The divine is not shy. Not long ago, I asked him why he was being so nice to me over recent years, and he said, "Oh, I'm done now with kicking your ass. I know I used to chide you all the time, and that is what I normally do with people, certainly in the beginning, but the time always comes if they stick around where I lighten up. I know you've had these rough patches, and they happen for a good reason, but one of these days is not going to be that long either. All that stuff is going to be gone for good. Count on it. You just remember to rely on me in all things. That is a critically important part of the process and why I bring it up to you so often. Rely on me. Once you are at that stage where you have done all you can, I will take it from there, and you'll be locked in a way that you could never leave. And I will only depart so that you can note my absence and miss me and appreciate the value of my company." Wow, we've come to the end of another broadcast just like that. I didn't see that coming. I went outside earlier, and there's one of those beautiful Islamic moons in the sky. It's not the classic one with the stars just above the bowl, but it's there for us to appreciate, like so many things so many people do not appreciate. I'll see you next week if there is one, and until then, I pray that you experience conversation with the divine. It's simple. All you have to do is start doing it. There's nothing special about me in that regard. It's just that I do it and have been doing it. That said, Hare Krishna, Om Amitabha, Inshallah, Hail Lord Jesus Christ, greetings my dear Lord Ganesha, and the same to you, Bahuwala, Aloha, and Haru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.